welcome everyone to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here with a gigantic crossover event, but we have to shoot the shit before that. So it's warm again in Minnesota.
I know. I was loving the 60s temperatures. It was so nice.
Which I think we get to by the end of this week, but we have to get through a few of these days where we need the air conditioning again.
High 80s. But Clyde got a trim. So he is ready to enjoy the full blast of the AC.
He's less fluffy. As an Angora, it's very long, dense fur.
Yeah, it's a lot to comb through. And one of the videos I saw about how to groom was sort of like lifting up the layers from the bottom up and then combing it out and releasing a little bit, comb that out. So it works sometimes.
Yeah, and the person at the Rabbit Rescue, that because they do romp and spas, so one of the ways that they make money is people pay to get their rabbits brushed or scent glands cleaned or nails trimmed or all of the above.
And to socialize with other rabbits, which sometimes works out. Sometimes you're the little light gray fluffy thing that just stayed in the same spot in a litter box the entire time we were there.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you're the gigantic gray one that just humped everything in sight.
It's true. So your efforts in terms of grooming Clyde actually paid off because it was a very quick trim.
Yeah, the bun before was like 45 minutes. Like, we were waiting for quite a while.
Yeah, Clyde was just chilling in his carrier.
Yeah.
So he should be a happier bun, and we just have to resolve to go every couple months.
Yep, and not be afraid of doing the full laundry cart experience for him to get him up so he can't just run away.
Yes.
Because so often he would just be like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't like this. Oh, no. No, thank you. So, either run away, grip the comb, and try to toss it. But he's been so good. He got a new litter box. He hasn't peed on his sheet recently.
It's great.
Yeah.
The other buns are just fine.
There's a big change in their life, though.
Yeah, Nora got a castle. Yes. So there's a great, like, small business that makes basically bunny houses.
Yeah. We got to flex our IKEA building skills, which we've done shortly after we started dating, I think, with your library bookshelves.
Yeah.
So our relationship has survived. Yeah. So much IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
The car tent thingy outside.
Mm.
The greenhouse, assembling that together, even if it did take 3 weekends more.
But this was easy. I mean,
I struggled until it made sense with, like, these little biscuit pieces. So, like, it helps line up the edges and help it stand so you could sort of see how it all comes together.
Yeah, but that seems to be a nighttime hangout spot. The daytime is still Nick and Nora up on a trunk as far away from us as possible to nap.
It's true. And then even when we were leaving to get Clyde to the romping spa, like, the way that they just shift and it's just, like, napping intensifies.
Yeah. So, they have been enjoying it. Nora really likes it. She was napping in it yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. So there's a tower, there's a little ramp leading to the second floor of the tower, and then there's a little bridge piece that goes over. So, they don't actually use the ramp. I got Nick to use it because I had a treat in front of his face, and he's very food motivated. But they like to loaf underneath it. They like to explore on top of it.
Yeah, they will just hop to the second level rather than use the ramp.
Yes.
So
through the big gap on one side or directly onto the bridge on the opposite side.
They've been chewing it.
They've been tasting it with their teeth.
Yes.
Very toddler thing for them to do.
So it's a good addition.
Yeah.
And I've been working on bags because there's a local show here in a couple weekends that I'm tabling at to try to sell copies of my book and also these bags that I've designed, selling them for the first time, and I'm sort of assembly lining it, so it flows well. It just takes a lot of time for like 17 bags to
which do makes sense
every step, so it's getting there. And I mean, whatever bags are done will be done for that sale.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yep. Just trying to make a little cash, because why not? I have all the fabric and stuff. I already have it invested, so
yeah,
just got to make them. And they should look really cool.
I mean, the ones that we have that you made for the Disney trip, I get a lot of compliments on.
Yeah. So we will see how they sell. Hopefully, I sell all of them. That'd be great. I would settle for selling a few.
Yeah.
And then I will take it to the Instagrams and sell them there or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was 5 hours yesterday I worked on that.
Yeah.
You volunteered at a local city's Pride celebration, and I sat in the basement with the bunnies and sewed.
Yeah, I was with the League of Women Voters, Dakota County, so I used to be on the leadership board for that, like helping with the programming aspect of like what event should we have, like who should be our monthly speaker. So the League of Women Voters is a great organization. It is political but nonpartisan, which means still talk about politics, but in a way that doesn't endorse either party. So it's always based on ideas. Its policy positions are based on consensus across the local chapters. So there's a whole process for that. So it's not like they just arrived at these because they align one end of the political spectrum. It's a no, these are our values. This is like the real grassroots consensus building. So it really sucks that the Trump administration was like, you can't do naturalization voter reg anymore. They've been doing it for decades. They were like the one organization that was brought in to do it, because they've had over a century of voter education, voter advocacy, voter registration events.
And you can get involved with your local chapter here in the United States if you're listening.
Yeah.
And it's not just women. That's the legacy name because,
Suffrage,
suffrage.
yeah.
But anyone can join and help out, which is great.
It's true. And like there's candidate forums that are coming up for the local school board elections that are moderated.
Which school boards vote in your school board elections because I have seen it locally where like one of the largest school districts in the state of Minnesota is like half the board is super radicalized, like just bananas ideas. And it's like I graduated from one of these high schools and like I have a lot to owe to the humanities. So
Oh.
maybe you shouldn't cut humanities funding and things like that.
Yeah, local races matter. Every vote matters, especially in Minnesota when we've had a bunch of very close races within recent memory. There was a Senate race that was 100 and some difference, I think.
A state senate race?
Franken Coleman, U.S. Senate. One of the governor recounts, I think it was Emmer Dayton, was super close. So do your research. Vote411 is a website that the league runs. So they'll send out questionnaires to candidates and compile all those responses.
And it's
So.
very telling when it says candidate did not respond. Like, if you can't bother responding to very basic questions, I'm not going to vote for you.
No.
Like, I'm not going to hunt around for your website that may or may not be updated. Like, no.
I mean, yeah, it's a choice
Yeah.
to not respond to all these
It
things.
is. And it's telling.
And it's, yeah, so it's all sorts of information that's there to help local folks do all their research all in one spot. So,
Yeah. Star Trek, we finished Strange New Worlds.
yeah, with the power of love, there were a few odd off episodes this season.
Yep, there sure were, including this finale. I thought this finale was pretty dumb.
Oh. I sort of like the content, like calling back a previous episode.
Yeah, but if they called back to a previous good episode, it'd be better.
Oh. I didn't mind the first one of this arc,
Oh.
but
It was okay. I don't like that they killed the nurse character that I was invested in
oh,
and
yeah.
made him then evil in the finale.
Spoiler.
Whatever. So, yeah, we have one more full season of Strange New Worlds and then the 6-episode finale season.
Yes, because they decided a movie would not work.
Which it wouldn't. Has anyone seen Section 31? Like, They took that. That was supposed to be a season of a series. And they're like, nope, you get a movie. And it sucked. Like, if they had been given 10 episodes to flesh out the hot Mass Effect character and other people.
The cyborg, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a terrible movie because they had to, like, just clip along. And you're like, oh.
Literally clips. It's like a bits and pieces ham.
Yep. It was so bad. And so,
actors deserve better.
Yes, they do. And the fact that Michelle Yeoh did all of her acting with none of the other actors. Like, she did it with stand-ins and green screens. Because by the time they finally moved their ass on it, Michelle Yeoh had an Oscar. So she is far more in demand. And she's not going to meet your schedule. Yeah. For an ensemble cast. It's not going to happen. So, new Trek.
It's doing very well up until this point.
Yeah. Discovery.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't finished season 5.
Nope.
Started out strong.
Picard didn't start off strong. Then the third season was probably what it should have been just for the first season. Like, a one season Picard would have been just fine with that one season.
I mean, that last season is just fan service.
Oh, it is. But that's what you want.
Would that have been enough?
Yes. That's what you want from a series labeled Picard. I didn't need the whole augments thing. Like, the androids taking over Mars thing. Oh,
the Romulan side?
Yeah, like, it was a different show each season. And the first two, it's like, you could have done you didn't need Picard as a legacy character to tell this story. It would have been pretty kick-ass if you just had it as a Star Trek series.
Yeah.
With a new cast. It didn't click. So, I know that Paramount was bought by Skybound?
Skydance.
Whatever.
They had to suck up to Trump to make it happen.
So, from what I hear, the head of that is like a big Trek fan. So maybe they'll invest more resources, because it seems in past years they've been cutting back on the budget and canceling Lower Decks.
Lower Decks is really good.
Yep. Which, again, fan service, but also, like, solid storytelling.
Like, new characters that you get invested in readily.
Yep.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And the plot lines worked. Like, the sort of series arc, season arcs. Mm-hmm. Like, Packled Planet.
Yeah.
The reality fishers.
And we brought it up, I think, the last Star Trek episode, the ongoing comic series that they have out of Lower Decks now.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's dense. So I sat down on the couch and I have the stack that I need to catch up on. It was like issues 4 through 10 and now 11 that just came out. And
was it the Ryan North ones leading into the Tim Sheridan ones?
Yes. So Ryan North wrote the first 6, I think.
I think so.
And I got through 4 and it took me so long because he has the footnotes and stuff like that, which are really fun.
It's hilarious.
They are. It's a lot to get through. Like, they're so good, but they're not a comic to just rip your way through and be like, I can get through this stack in an evening, because it did not happen for me. Because
I think that's okay, though.
Yes, exactly. But I sat down with a false expectation, being like, I'm going to catch up with Lower Decks tonight.
Like, it's not going to be an X-Men comic that you can just, like, breeze through.
Shade.
With very little dialogue.
Shade. Yeah, that's not the first I've heard, even this week, of criticism for the current X titles. So,
there's
anyway, they're going through the Age of Revelation, and I'm not reading any of that.
Oh,
I have no interest, and there are a lot of different factors. I think the big one is editorial. That they ended Krakoa, took Jordan White off of it, put Tom Brevoort, who had never done an X title before, on it. And then Tom Brevoort is running around in his own blog that he does every week, except this week was the last week for a long time, he said.
Oh.
Where he was like, I played around with AI this past week. It was pretty fun.
Oh, no.
Sir, you have been at a comics company for decades, working with actual artists who are fighting against AI. And you're like, this is fun. Bad luck. bad look. So you have that person editing the line where they're pausing everything for this Age of Revelation, and it's 12 new titles or something that I refuse. Like, you're pausing all the X titles that are already sort of on shaky ground because you keep pulling the plug on them at issue 10.
Oh, yeah.
Like X-Force. X-Factor.
Yeah.
Nyx. NYX.
And
NYX, I heard from you, like, it was catching its stride. And a lot of people really love the storytelling of it, even to start off with. And they're like, no, we're done.
It was, like, as decent as a thing they could do post-Krakoa, I feel.
Mm.
Like, using some of those characters, giving them depth, and, like, going through the mourning process of Krakoa, I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And then, and I guess Ms. Marvel, because she is she's the Wolverine of the 2020s.
I didn't read any of those titles that they did with her, but I have heard things from friends where they're like, this is just not good. It's just not good.
Like, her power is not original.
Seeming. Yeah.
Like,
and it,
so and I get it that there's been 50 plus years of X-Men of powers coming out of the walls.
You have so many characters that are underdeveloped that are around already, though.
That are ripe, one might say.
Like, I hear people talking about the Academy X kids and how, you know, they premiered like 20 years ago and you barely see any of them in action. And
yeah,
it's really disheartening to see. And there's no way you can have everyone's favorite mutant character in a book at any given time. Not going to happen, because we all love deep cuts. But,
and I think that's what pulls for certain titles, to be like, here's my favorite character, they're getting a moment, they're getting some development, and then, like, Dust in Realm of X got some development, and to some extent, Legion of X, too, with her role of, like, providing a place of healing for folks during Krakoa. And, like, love Richter Shatterstar.
Yeah. And, like, one of these Age of Revelation books has North Star in it. I'm still not going to read it. Like, you reach a point where you're like, no. If I want to read it, I'll wait until it comes out on Marvel Unlimited that I pay $100 per year for.
Oh. Have you gone back to read anything in Marvel Unlimited?
No. I read older stuff, but it's not, like, the current stuff. Like, what was, like, the last, like, newish thing I tried to read?
Was it The Dark Web?
No. I mean, I read Avengers Academy. Like, that's different. That's an exclusive on there.
Well, yeah, but, like, the
but, like, the big where I'm crossover, like, I'm not going to read this because I can read it on Marvel Unlimited. But that's the litmus test. If I remember in, like, 4 months when I see it, if I still want to, then I'll read it. I most recently had that thought with Imperial, because I bought issue 2 of Imperial, have yet to read it.
Oh.
And all the books are like $6.99 or something now. Yeah.
Because they're lengthier?
Yeah.
Oh.
But Marvel is starting. Marvel, more than DC, is creeping up their prices.
Oh.
Like, $4.99 is becoming standard for some of the titles.
It is for the indie ones, but also it's like better cardstock.
Yes. I would argue better printing quality.
Yeah. Are you still loving your DC era?
I am. So I finally, after Lower Decks, where I'm like, oh, I only got through one in a night.
Oh.
I was like, I can catch up on Superman. Like, I have the trade paperbacks for the beginning of the current run, and then I started pulling it. So I got through 9 issues so far, and I picked up the 2 issues that need to bridge me between where I started pulling and where the trade paperbacks end.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's a lot of fun so far.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Some titles I might drop. Green Lantern Corps, I have to read right now because it's in a tie-in with Green Lantern. Like, it's bouncing a story between the two.
Oh.
I might stop
pulling, like, Star Trek and Defiant did?
Yeah. I might stop pulling it after that. Green Arrow, very good right now. Really good social commentary.
Oh, good.
And right now it's focusing, I think, on addicts being killed, like homeless addicts.
Oh.
So it's Oliver trying to track down this killer. Before that, it was poisoned water supply and how a company basically bought off the entire community
Oh.
and how some of them like went after them
Wow.
afterwards. So good stuff. The Justice League tie-in stuff, like all of it's good.
That's good.
Yeah, JSA, very interesting, very different title. It's part of the all-in stuff, but existing in its own separate bubble. It's not tying in a whole lot with anything, which is
Okay.
fine. So there's a lot of good stuff that DC is doing, and I feel that they are more user-friendly, if you're not used to it. Like with the all-in stuff that began in 2023, you can pick up stuff and you know what's going on, and you don't need to know much about the characters or their legacies.
Oh, that's
You
nice.
don't need to know that Oliver Queen has like this relationship with this, like they explain it. So
Oh, good.
yeah, it's not like a, oh, go back and read this comic from 1996, which I would say Marvel is more notorious for doing, where you're like, what? No, I don't want to. Like,
It's intimidating when that
it
happens.
is. So, the one thing with DC, though, that they just did is Red Hood.
Yeah.
And, like, we won't get into everything because I don't want the government scanning this podcast and its transcript for anything, but neither here nor there, that was a swift decision by a major multimedia company to cancel a series the day a comment was posted.
And pulp issues 2 and 3. Like in Star Trek DS9, that was the only time I'd heard about a comic being pulped from the Far Beyond the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
And What We Leave Behind, I think, are the two DS9 episodes with the flashback to Benny and the comic writing and the fact that it's the 50s, and because racism,
Yes.
the comic talking where. The comic about DS9 in this flashback reality gets pulped because you can't have a black captain. So, like, the fact that that happened is just bizarre.
I read a pretty good article. I forget what website. There's a website who did really good reporting that I read on Friday about everything. And the conversation, like every creator at DC, it gets sort of standards for how you interact with social media. So the writer of Red Hood said, I didn't get anything like that, but this website talked with two other creators who are like, no, you get that.
Oh.
You get a sheet that's like, this is how you can, you
Be
know,
online in that
yes,
space.
basically. And it's just stunning that the post, I forget when it went up, sometime obviously Wednesday afternoon, and by 10:30 Eastern, Marie Javins had called the writer and said, you're off the book. Like, the series has ended. You're fired.
Wow.
So, the conversations that must have been had were had. They're,
Swift.
yeah. So, that's the one thing with DC where I'm like, oh, that doesn't make me feel great. Like, a trans creator and, yeah.
Yeah,
Yep,
where we're at.
it's rough. So let's go back.
I mean, I'm also reading comics too.
Okay, well, you go because you are in the second volume of Space Ghost with all of the hunky covers.
All the hunky covers, beyond the hunky covers, it's good. The relationship growth between the characters is nice, and still continuing to move forward. So I really like that. Space Ghost has been great. Captain Planet has been really good. I appreciate the sort of character development, the aging up of the Planeteers.
Which did you send me the article or something? I saw maybe I saw something that David said on Blue Sky, the writer, where he's like, we didn't want to have to deal with like the parents giving permission for these kids to go off and do
Oh,
things.
I did not see that, but that yeah. makes sense.
Yeah, he's like, we aged them up because we just didn't want to deal with, like, why are teenagers running around without supervision?
And it gives them more agency, I feel, for their actions, which is working out really well with, like, the Wheeler plotline. And so it's been good. Really like it. It's also moving it all forward. Like, not just making Captain Planet hot, but also, like, where Mati comes from.
Okay.
Dealing with, like, lithium mine issues and illegal gold mining in South America. Like, those are huge issues.
And Captain Planet's hot.
Well, yes. Yeah, still going with Flash Gordon. I don't know about Silverhawks. It's sort of reading, like, a little, like, a younger audience book.
Herculoids
is going well.
You Herculoids and Space Ghost, both legacy Hanna-Barbera properties.
I didn't know that about Herculoids, but it's fun. I like Gloop and Glob, the shapeless ones. And like some of the issues are dives into the like the creatures that they work with to protect this planet, so I like that aspect of it. So yeah, that's the indie comic report. Red Shirts is good.
It is.
Star Trek Red Shirts.
Yeah.
I'm sort of excited for The Last Starship.
It comes out in 2 weeks, I think.
I think so. So it takes place, it's like a Disco plotline spinoff of the after the burn.
Which we never saw the burn.
No, we just saw like a clip of starships exploding. Yeah. So dilithium destabilized, so all the warp cores of all these ships destabilized and blew up. And so this is a bit of like rebuilding the Federation after that happens, which was glossed over in Disco, but is like ripe with stories to tell.
And we're getting Captain Kirk back somehow.
Yes. Which I'm not all that excited about.
I'm more excited for the Captain Kirk of it all than the Burn stuff. So I think between the two of us, we're excited all the way.
Yeah.
For Last Starship. And I think that's the last miniseries, right? Because we have Red Shirts, Voyager, Last Starship are the three they're running
Voyager with. Yeah, Voyager Homecoming.
Yeah, which is...
That was a swerve.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I did not expect them to get yanked back somewhere.
No. So quick.
And it's like, oh shit. But they even have like Kate Mulgrew promoting it, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Like she is giving shout outs to the writers. One of the writers is trans as well. I really like the way that they constructed the story. And you get the, we're back home. Isn't that great? Oh, here's your new child, Tom and B'Elanna. Oh no. And we're in fluidic space.
And B'Elanna's like, absolutely not.
Yep. Yeah.
We didn't come this far just to have it all yanked out from underneath us.
Yeah. Maybe we should do an episode on all that.
The new Star Treks?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Red Shirts is... It's such a different story. Like...
Isn't it like what X-Statics or something? Or in the new X-Factor?
Yes.
A little bit?
Sort of. Yeah.
But at least Red Shirts is couched, like, we got a nice lead up into it about what it means to be a security officer in Starfleet. And, like, yeah, odds are good. There's some really weird shit that's probably going to fuck you up.
Yep. I'm blind in an eye.
Yeah. And it was ripped off his face by a Mugato.
Yes. So, really good stuff. I'm excited to see what they announce after this, which they should be doing that probably after they get Last Starship launched. Like, they're probably putting all their PR might into getting all of this out in the world.
Was there a new Strange New Worlds one too?
Oh, that's right.
Why can't I not think of what it is?
I don't know. I'll look it up. I think you're right. And that was in the back of my mind where it was like, oh,
like the Illyrian,
there's four titles.
The Illyrian Enigma was good. The Scorpius run was really good. So I have high hopes for this one too. And except why can't we remember any of it?
The Seeds of Salvation.
Yes.
That already came out. I read that issue.
We did.
Oh, that doesn't speak volumes about it. Well, it speaks some volumes about it.
I mean, I probably read it late at night when I'm like, I want to read this. Except I'm really tired, but I want to read this.
So it's researchers. Chapel knows another researcher.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They go to the planet and everyone's gone and they have to go like down under to in these submersibles. There's like a friendly android generic robot person. Like not data level, but like
enough. I didn't see this alternate cover Spock with a spork.
What?
Yeah.
Do you think Vulcans think about sporks? Are they logical?
I don't know. So the second one doesn't come out until October.
Okay.
Then so November, then December.
Okay.
So obviously we should probably just do an episode where we can
talk about the new tracks.
Yes. And so that way we can actually remember. So those are the four series that we have going on.
Yeah.
So that's
new track.
Yeah. So I think they'll probably announce the next, whatever's next in IDW.
Yeah.
Like October-ish.
Oh, I had like a 15 millisecond of fame on Blue Sky when I was one of the artists that did the Beefcake hero. Like, you got Hercules, I got D-Man.
Oh, Philip.
Philip Seavey.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, here's this panel about Talir saying that the gender binary is illogical.
Yes.
And they really liked it.
Yeah,
and
then they were like, I need to get that tattooed on my body right now.
And they should give a shout out to the authors. And I'm like, let me gush about it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
Should we go back to the 90s now?
Yeah.
This is the crossover we've been building up to for over a year. And
for so long.
And the buildup, I would say, does not pay off. But let's get into it because there are some things I liked.
It does start out strong.
So I think
it starts out strong for reasons that make sense, though, because it's the groundwork is laid in Star Trek Academy.
Chris Cooper, I feel, this was Chris's baby. And then the nature of a crossover, you need other creators to write your characters. And I think that's where it went wrong. Like, the first part of the story, we start in Starfleet Academy issue number 12, Telepathy War Part 1. So it's Chris Cooper on the book. We return to our cadets, which, if you listen back to that last episode, I almost cried when we were done with Starfleet Academy because I loved the series so much. So we're back here, and to refresh your memory, they have a death sentence because they went to Talos IV.
I remembered that part, and I feel like I had the best memories of this one, even though it had been the longest since we had covered it.
Yeah.
And so, like, we get some of the intrigue with the Admiralty, we get the breakout, the rescue, all the plot holes that were like, how do they get out of their death sentence? How do they do this?
Yep, it's all in this one issue.
It is. So there's a breakout. Pava kicks ass, even though her back is still healing. I appreciate that she's like, these crutches just extend my reach to kick ass.
She even admits, like, they're mostly for show now.
Yeah.
So,
And Boothby directing, like, this drilling thing. And, ooh, I didn't realize that was the main power conduit to the Academy.
Oops.
At just the right time.
Yeah.
So they escape in a runabout, and then there's the USS Bolivar and the USS Sagan, an intrepid and maybe a more modern Miranda class type ship, like that shape with a little bonk on top of the saucer.
Mm-hmm.
And the runabout, like, is small enough to evade the Romulans' fire, or are they just missing on purpose?
Mm.
And it disables it long enough for the Federation ships to get away. And the runabout continues on its way to some sort of escape.
So we have Idam with the mind block.
Oh, yeah. That gets wrapped up.
Yep. So that basically he was in a chemically induced state where he couldn't use his telepathy.
Yeah, so much somalin was pumping through his system. And then the doctor and Lund had this great moment of, like, I can't believe they're going to kill these cadets. I just spent all this effort into healing Pava. And Lund is like, yeah, gee, putting all this effort into training them just to watch them die. I don't know what that's like. So they get on the same page. They go through some hypotheticals of like something is fishy here. So that was really good, like good layering in, and explains why the leadership at the academy changed when we picked it back up again.
True. So they are taking the runabout because Nog gets basically a pardon. They're like, oh no, it would look real bad if the first Ferengi in Starfleet is murdered by us, so we'll just send you back to Deep Space Nine.
Was he on the planet when they went to Talos 4?
I don't remember.
He must have been,
He
right?
was, because they make a point of saying, like, no, he's guilty, but we're just shoving him back to the frontier.
Oh yeah, doing like a not study abroad type thing on DS9, like get him out of the forefront because there were so many protests on campus.
So then we switch over to Deep Space Nine issues 12 and 13 for parts 2 and 3 of the crossover.
Which things are generally fine. The Elkars panel issue is back again.
Because we have gone back in the past to 97, 98.
When they did the Elkars, like blue, dark blue background, white writing,
Super small.
small, like the Star Trek font is iconic, but if you're gonna put it in, you need to make sure it's readable. And if it's in a small font, it's not readable.
We went through this back in the day in high school when I was a yearbook editor choosing a font for the year.
Oh.
Like, you learn which fonts are more readable to the eye. And they have to have like those little hooks and things on them. So like Times New Roman is a really good font because it has those little, like, if it's an F, it has a little round thing at the top.
I know the word for that thing. I
I
just
know.
can't think of what it is.
So what, like,
It's like
but
related to Helvetica or something.
yeah, so these, they're very smooth letters, so they're already hard to read. And when you get it small and in white font,
And they're tall and sort of like elongated up and down, but squished side to side. So, and the other thing we should say, beautiful art, all the ship stuff. It's great. Love it.
And
The amount of detail on it, which you need for Star Trek, you just can't have like, oh, that's the outline of a D7 Klingon cruiser. Like, you need the wonkiness of it. You need the little windows. You need the panels.
So we're sort of getting, we get a lot of footnotes referencing episodes.
Yeah, which we had.
so many.
I don't remember this quantity of callbacks to episodes.
No. So basically what's happening, it's like the Dominion War.
Yeah, so there's a fleet coming. There's also a Cardassian fleet, and they're going to like hammer Anvil DS9.
Yes, which we've seen on the show before.
And so the Enterprise gets called in. So the Enterprise is also floating around out here.
And it has an evil admiral.
Decker's dad. And Worf and Kira are like, we agree with Martok, we should do a preemptive strike on one of those task forces, bloody their nose a bit, and then that'll make it better for the station to hold the line of defense. And it doesn't go great. Sisko's like, absolutely not, you need to stay here. Kira and Worf decide to go off and do their own thing, which is a problem because they're like, we'll take the Defiant.
And Sisko's like, no, you won't.
Yeah, he forbids Worf from taking the Defiant out, but doesn't say anything to Kira about it. Or that's the loophole that she's using, at least. Meanwhile, Nog is using the transporter on the Defiant to get Omega Squad on board.
Yes, from the runabout, because it's the only transporter that wouldn't be able to be traced.
Yes, Odo doesn't have the same sort of access to logs like any of the other transporters on the station. So we get some of the reunion between the Enterprise folks, some footnotes for first contact happening. Deanna's like, Worf, do you have anyone new in your life? And he's like, I have a thing for older women. So the squad sort of sabotages the runabout that they took. It's unmanned at this point. And so when the station tries to grab it, there's an automatic, oh, go to warp, and then it blows up. So they're like, oh,
Everyone died.
Everyone must have died.
And the Admiral doesn't care.
No, like, in a very strange way. So Kira, Garak, and Odo go over to the Defiant, and Sisko's pissed. And they actually beam Worf out of Ops onto the Defiant.
Yes. And
then Omega Squad shows up, and like, we may be in trouble, but we're still Starfleet cadets. Put us to work.
Because they were hiding in Quark's liquor storage.
Yes.
So
next is the battle.
Yeah, so it's a gigantic space battle. So the Defiant is going out, the Jem'Hadar are coming through the wormhole. Worf is begrudgingly there, although Kira's like, you wanted to be here, so shut up. And Gul Dukat then comes on the screen being his slimy self.
And the Defiant is taking a pounding, and Martok is cloaked watching the whole thing?
Yes, seeing like if they need to decloak or not.
And he's like, oh no, Worf has it.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the Defiant is like, gets pummeled in one last pass.
Yes, I do like that Nog's exclamation where we'd be like, shit, or fuck. His is, charity.
I did notice that. That was good.
I read it, and I'm like, wait, oh, I get it now.
That makes sense for a Ferengi.
Yes.
The Garak characterizations are on point, I feel, mm-hmm. as are the Odo ones. Like, Odo gets confrontational with Admiral Decker. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not in my command chain.
Yep.
So this whole thing where you're executing kids for something, and if they're here, sure, I'll arrest them, but you're not going to take them until I do a full investigation.
Yeah. The Jem'Hadar have beamed on board Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah, the whole battle.
You get Morn and Leeta and Rom and Quark.
I didn't notice Morn. I only noticed Quark and Rom and Leeta.
Yeah, Morn's right there.
Yes, explosions in the bar.
So T'Priel gets hit. Deanna beams with her because Deanna Troi is on the station.
Yes, she knows that something is up with T'Priel,
mm-hmm.
so she stayed behind.
But then she starts acting weird.
Oh, yeah. Pava says something nice, and Deanna's like, if I want your advice, cadet, I'll ask for it. And when I first saw that, I'm like, that's out of character for mm-hmm. Deanna.
But then it makes sense.
Yes.
So finally, the Klingons sort of join the battle, but they get their asses handed to them. They beam Martok and his bridge crew but the rest of them die.
We're down aboard a prey.
Yep. And the Romulans show up.
Yes.
To save everyone's asses. It is your favorite, Tomalak.
They're back.
Yeah.
So, and they were the ones also in the Bolivar and Sagan mm-hmm. when they were after the runabout. And those Romulans had also fucked up those Federation ships. So, odd that they're there.
Yeah.
Very strange.
So, they sort of repel the forces for now. And I think it's Sisko who says, they were just seeing how strong we are. This wasn't a serious attack.
Right, like, where are the other ships that we thought were coming?
Yeah.
So, it was a much weaker force than they expected. Like, still enough to lower the shields on part of the station to allow those boarding parties. Still enough to destroy Martok's flagship.
Yep. And the Defiant folks come back, and this sort of closes out the Deep Space Nine portion of the story. So the station has to recover. There you go.
And Worf and Kira and Odo all try to resign, and Kira's like, I'm a simple tailor. I can't resign. I can't be in trouble. And Sisko's like, the hell you are. I am not accepting those resignations. You're going to work yourself out of this hole that you've put yourself in.
So before we get to part four, what's that month on the cover of Deep Space 913?
January of 98.
Again, this font is hard to read.
This is a... yeah.
Okay, so we're going into part four, which is Star Trek Unlimited issue 6. What's the cover date on that?
November 97?
Oh, you mean 2 months before?
When part one was released? The Star Trek Academy one? So we go November 97, December 97, January 98, November 97, January 98, November 97. for the final.
Oh, y'all, we have some issues with issues. We'll get to it. I'm going to take this Voyager one that we'll get to because there are some letters pertinent to the situation.
I feel like there are more letters pertinent to Telepathy War than panels in that episode relevant to Telepathy War.
Yes. So, Star Trek Unlimited. So, if you recall, everyone, we started our coverage with Star Trek Unlimited, where it would go back and forth between original series and TNG. Most of the issues were split half and half, but then they would do whole issues for one or the other. This is an all TNG issue.
Yeah, I mean, the opening page is a beautiful DS9, some broken Jem'Hadar ships, some Federation ships. Like, the detail on it is so good. So good. It's only one page, though, because the other page is the recap. And they're like, well, we repulsed this attack. Mm-hmm. The Admiral is saying that we should go through the wormhole and deal with something with the Founders while they're still reeling.
Yes.
So it's the E, it's a bunch of Klingon ships, like a Bird of Prey, one of the old D7s. Like, how are there still so many?
I don't know.
A Vorcha cruiser, which is fun. We got some Intrepid classes, the Stargazer, and another one that we find out the name of it later. There's an Excelsior class. It's fun. So, Decker, the Admiral, not the cadet, is ordering everyone through, and the mission changes. Gowron on the Vorcha cruiser is pissed because they're not there to get a trophy. They're there to do a scan, like to figure out what the scheming nature of the Dominion is over here. So something's clearly amiss because the fleet at DS9 was not as big as anticipated. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they need to go through. And we sort of get this round table with the other captains and Admiral Decker, which I thought was fun. There's a Bolian captain. So, the also one of the other captains wisely points out, like, this didn't work out well when the Cardassians and Romulans showed up, and they had cloaking devices, which didn't really help because the Dominion knew they were coming anyway, yeah. But still. So we've got Pava and Cadet Decker and Odo, mm-hmm. who have carried over onto the D.
The E. Enterprise E.
I keep forgetting that it's the E now.
Yes.
We had this whole talk at Star Trek Trivia about how many Enterprises there have been. It was rough.
That question was roughly crafted as well, I will say.
Yeah, because like we're counting this. We're not including the drawings or the models.
Yeah.
But do they include the sailing ship from the holodeck? Do they include the orbital shuttle thing that we have now from the credits of Enterprise? Anyway, so they're there. Odo puts them to work in sick bay. Deanna is freaking out.
And I think this is where they finally figure out that she's having the opposite response to everything.
Yeah.
Her emotions are like reverse polarized.
Yeah, so people that she should be friendly towards, she sees as enemies.
Yeah.
She sees enemies and she's like, I love you. Why are you harming the people that love me?
And yet...
Or that I love.
And she has that feeling towards a certain someone.
Yeah. And we get Mr. Lavelle, and it's unclear if it's the guy from the Lower Decks episode of TNG or not. But it's a nice callback, at least. So the ships are going through... Nurse Ogawa in this issue looks like Nurse Ogawa, at least in this panel. Mm. Will she look like herself in the next time we see her? No, actually not at all. So Deanna goes down. There are a bunch of Dominion ships closing. And so the Dominion ships waiting in a nebula. And now they're attacking the smaller ships, the Birds of Prey and the Intrepid class cruisers, according to Data.
This is the same Lavelle.
Oh.
According to Memory Alpha.
Doesn't look like him, and the skin tone coloring has a range that you'd think, yes, he's a hunk in the episode.
Yeah. But
the coloring of flesh tones in Marvel Comics, this is one of those times where it's bad.
You're like, is this...
Why is it not consistent?
Yeah, is he supposed to be tanned? Is he very poorly drawn as an ethnic stereotype?
Yeah, it is very unclear. So, there's some fun, what's the word I'm looking for? Tactical choices that are made and drawn. So you can see, like, the Stargazer, it was in trouble, so the E came over to protect it. And then Captain Gorath's ship is taking a pounding, so the Stargazer goes around and beams the crew up because the that ship, the Clintha, was facing a warp core breach. So things are not exactly going great. Their ships are, they're down one for sure. And, like, at least it took a few Jem'Hadar ships with. But
so we still, it's the continued space battle.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's a lot of description for this. And shocker, the D7 is destroyed. This ancient-ass ship with its weirdly designed neck. Like, I get that it's iconic, but come on. So that one, Katinga battle cruiser also gets blown up. So the down two Klingon ships. And forces break off. And they do not, in fact, pursue. So they lick their wounds. Deanna, no clue, no bacteria, no viruses. And Decker just wants to talk to his dad because his dad is being a dick. So Odo is like, yeah, be fast. You can go talk to him. Even though we know that there's a changeling on board from this panel in engineering.
Yep.
And Geordi, like, I appreciate the callback to First Contact where they're like, this is where the Borg did a lot of their bad stuff, and now it feels like engineering is haunted.
Mm.
So.
Decker is like, Dad, can we talk? And
his dad is like, yeah. I'm a changeling. I'm going to suck your face.
Yep.
Like, full on, like,
yeah.
Globby arm over Cadet Decker's face. The Admiral's like, oh, yeah, I'm even answering my comm badge as myself. Ha ha. Oh, I just dropped something.
Yeah.
Was it Decker falling to the floor? Yes, it was.
Yes. So after this reveal is where I sort of checked out for all of this story. Oh. Like, I was like, oh, I knew it. Like, I knew he was a changeling.
Because he was acting so strangely before. Yeah. So there are some warbirds that show up, and they're like...
Romulan warbirds.
Oh, yes. The Romulans. And the Federation Klingon ships lose control of their stuff, or that the E does, because Decker has taken control. So they're firing, and they're like, why are these Romulans firing on us? They should be allies. Oh no, there's more Dominion ships. So Deanna throws a crusher into Pava. There's some oomph. And she ends up at the bridge at the same time as Admiral Decker. I'm getting ahead of myself because USS Pathfinder has just been destroyed.
It's fine.
That was the other one. Like, we saw the Stargazer name, and we saw another Intrepid class, and this was the other Intrepid class. So, there's Jem'Hadar boarding the ship. Data yanks out a Ketracel White, and they go to work. They eventually get control of the ship again and start firing on the Jem'Hadar ships. They lost another Klingon ship, which is what they get for not encouraging more engineering instead of having warriors all the time. So Deanna gets to the bridge. She is all about Commander Riker, who just came back from Admiral Decker's quarters, who, like, he was a changeling. We killed him. And I was like, off panel? Really? And because Deanna, like, lovingly goes towards Riker when she's had all her emotions reversed. They're like, no, you're a changeling. I'm going... So they kill the changeling.
Yes.
And actual Romulans show up. And they're like, we want revenge. We lost so many ships in the Omarian Nebula. And so the real Romulans take out the fake ones. They are taking their right of vengeance. And that is where we leave it.
Yep, and it says, this story concludes in Telepathy War, number one.
Even though there's a part 5? Voyager?
Star Trek Voyager, issue 13, which is branded Telepathy War, part 5. And by this time, the THC drink had kicked in for me. And
which it sort of goes with the story where they're mining a gas giant of, like, there's layers of smoke and clouds.
So that's basically the story.
Yeah.
It's a one-off story.
The bird people are back. They love Janeway. Because Janeway rescued their ships in the Leviathan.
They deem her a battle sister.
Yeah, and Janeway's like, hey, do you know where we can get some of these resources that we're really low on?
And they're like, we do. It's this one planet.
It's a colony.
And they go to that planet, and it's a very dense atmosphere, and it comes from below, goes to the clouds, and that's where the people who live on the planet mine it from.
Yes.
They mine it from the sky with flying creatures, and...
Which actually is sort of fun. Like, the creatures just sort of, like... filter it out, and then there's this big blobby thing on there.
They basically, like...
collect the farts.
Yes, they,
it's fart mining.
It is. They massage the gland, so it comes out.
Yeah, and the manta ray creatures are having a great time.
They love it. They're like, they love the attention. But then, like, Paris is being Paris... His
steed gets spooked.
And he keeps going down and down, and they're like, his spacesuit is decompressing. We need to rescue him.
Not built for that pressure. They, running out of air.
They take Voyager down. They do a code blue so they can go to the planetary atmosphere.
Blue alert. Then Voyager's not having a heart attack.
Whatever. And I was having a heart attack because by this time, like 20 pages in, I'm like, where the fuck is the telepathy war?
And there's explosions, but no, it's the gas giant because there's pirates who are, like, in the nature preserve levels of this planet, like, doing bad things to the Dron. They pick up Parrish, they rescue him, and they're like, oh no, we don't like you. They were beating him up for reasons. And
then Paris is in sickbay, and Kes is like, oh, I'm feeling things in my head in the Alpha Quadrant. She's never been there.
Never.
She's never been there.
There's no connection.
And
at
then
all.
She's like, it's changing, Captain. I can see the Borg. They're killing the Borg, and they're going to kill us too. What? That's the telepathy war tie-in? Is 2 pages, like 5 panels, and it's about the Borg who are nowhere.
It's about species 8472. Because they're the ones killing the Borg. Like, they probably told Lori Sutton, like, you must tie in. And she...
she was like, what's the storyline? And they're like, we're not sure yet. So, Kes? And she's like, okay.
Like, I'll do my best with what you're giving me.
But
like, all this is presuming, like, that's what happened.
But
because...
it reads like that. Like, it is... I can see why all along, even in, like... the first issue of this crossover, they were like, it's 4 parts and then the one-off. And I'm like, but what about Voyager? And even in Star Trek Unlimited, where they're like, this concludes in the one-shot. And I'm like, okay, but what about Voyager? And then you get to Voyager and you're like, this is not actually a tie-in issue.
Yeah, like, there's a reason they didn't mention it. Like, on the tie-in, this Telepathy War 1, dated November 97... Star Trek Next Generation meets Deep Space Nine meets Starfleet Academy.
So remember when we were questioning, how are they going to tie in Voyager to this? The answer is...
poorly.
Not really.
And it's not Lori Sutton's fault, like,
no.
Not to make it
sound
like...
it's like, they were obviously... there were obviously release issues, some delays, which Gordon Hope Murray of Hong Kong... wrote a lengthy letter about
that
in
whole
Voyager.
Column is his,
yes,
is him.
Like, there, he's like, you have serious release issues, like, you are not shipping out your issues on time or in order, and it makes no sense. And the answering person, it's probably Julio Soto, the assistant editor. We do realize that there has been a shipping problem with these books, and in all honesty, there is really no one person who was responsible for this mishap.
Oh.
And then the So Gordon is like, why was the font so large for the letter? Finally, the type was so big because that's all the letters we had.
Oh.
Okay.
Did they only get two okay to print letters?
Right? I've met Star Trek fans. They have a
We.
lot of opinions. You're not just getting two letters per month
No.
on a comic book. So that sort of addresses it, makes me want to like pursue some sort of project doing an oral history of Star Trek at Marvel even more because this is a fucking mess.
Some, like, they shouldn't have included Voyager,
No.
like, for
And
sure.
like the Deep Space Nine issues were so much later than the other three. Like, obviously, these were all meant to come out at the same time because it's a proper crossover, so you can read it in sequence. Can you
Right.
imagine going and getting Starfleet Academy? Oh, I got. Look at this. I picked up part one, and you're like, the next week. Oh, part two. Or part two? Wait, no. It's Star Trek Unlimited, which is labeled part four?
So, laying this out, you get Telepathy War, Part 1, Part 4,
All in the same month.
and the concluding one-shot. In December, you get one DS9, and then in January, you get the other DS9 and Voyager.
Which these are the cover dates, not the on sale dates. We won't get into it. We just go with cover dates.
Yeah.
But you can see, like,
Something happened.
it was Deep Space Nine was horribly behind schedule, it seems, where.
Like, I can sort of see, like, it had the most detail required art.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do those issues without spending a lot of time on those panels.
But they should have planned
They should
for that.
know, especially,
You're
like,
also like on issue 12.
right, you should know by then, like, if the art is consistently behind, you need more artists working together.
Yep. Switch up
Like,
your artists.
either do every other,
Yep.
give them more time, like, something.
Yeah.
Find a solution.
Telepathy War. The
Yes.
concluding chapter. We get Loxana making out with a beefy guy.
I
That's
mean,
probably the highlight of this issue for me is more Loxana.
it is. I mean, we have to get through some Spock.
Okay, so Spock is having an emotional breakdown. So
Yes.
for him being on the cover of this bullshit, he's
Yeah.
barely here.
So
He's
the
almost sure not appearing in this issue.
it's true. So they figure out in the last issue, the Unlimited one, that Admiral Decker was a changeling, that maybe we should listen to the cadets, that the Conference of Telepaths is in danger because telepaths are the best defense against changelings. Therefore, they are the biggest target.
Yes.
And the planet that they're having the conference on is doesn't have any, there are no Federation ships in that sector. Or at least none of note. Like, I can imagine runabouts and freighters, like that sort of thing. So they go back through the wormhole. There's one last Jem'Hadar ship that they blow up, but then there are some survivors that get beamed over, and it's the real Admiral Decker.
They're like, here's your admiral. You can have him back now. We don't want him.
And a Jem'Hadar named Labir. Labir does not have a Ketracel white tube.
Oh.
He has, like,
He
actual
doesn't need
civilian.
it. And he's like, here's the trash that we don't want anymore. It's your admiral.
Also, a warning.
Yes.
And that's when we cut to Alaya 2, where Loxana's making out with this beefy guy who I thought was a tiefling, but that's
Oh.
because I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate.
It's true.
And they have a really nice moment. Like, his species communicates entirely telepathically. He has, like, little antenna, but not eyes. I thought he did have eyes, that they
No.
were closed because they're in such a fond embrace.
No, just no eyes.
Just no eyes.
And he's like, I need to go back to my people.
And yeah, he has a sick daughter, so he's doing the responsible dad thing. But he shares this image of his planet Zox with Loxana, but it's not just the sights and sounds, or sights as it were. Like, it's everything that it means to him too. So she has this full emotional moment, like, full Auntie Mame Loxana, living life to the fullest, like, having this great moment for someone sharing so much of themselves. with her of something of such beauty.
And he's like, sorry to leave you with blue balls, girl, bye.
I'm sorry you're leaking from your face. I don't understand what they are. And she says, they're tears. They're beautiful. And he's like, just like you. Okay, bye. Now we go to another Troy, Deanna. She's pissed. And really, this one, this is the issue where the artist has never seen Nurse Ogawa. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
We love Nurse Ogawa.
We do. R.I.P. Patty.
She's so wonderful.
She was, even in that little Hallmark commercial.
She turned into a simian creature when the whole ship turned into animals.
This is where they start digging into what's going on with the telepaths in this telepathy war. Which, by the way, now that we're in the conclusion, I don't think it's that much of a war.
The premise made it sound like it would be. The first issue made it sound like it would be.
But then we get
all these other battles.
Then it got out of Chris Cooper's hands. Chris Cooper is writing this one shot. Yes. So.
And, like, great for bringing in Nurse Ogawa and, like, tying all the crews together in a really great way.
Yeah.
Like, even Odo being like, I hate taking the mantle of the Founders, but to make this Jem'Hadar person tell us the full truth, I'll do that. And the Jem'Hadar is like, no, we don't care about you. Like, you're not a god. And that's when you find out that he's, like, a rebel.
He is a rebel Jem'Hadar.
Yeah. Which we sort of got on the show, but not to this extent. Not of, like, I want the full liberation of my people. So, the doctors can't figure out what it is. Edom is there and is pulling some information out, being like, yes, he is telling the truth. The telepaths are in danger. But it's not really like a bombing situation.
Yeah, it's like they're all on a planet together. So what's happening is that it's a virus, and it's only passed by telepaths. And the plan is for this telepathic conference to then have to evacuate, go back to their home planets,
and then
infect all of their people.
Yeah, there's an incubation period.
Yes.
So the Deckers are together. And Admiral's like, I owe Labir my life for rescuing me from that Dominion prison camp. But we can't change our plans with every rumor. So he sends Picard and the E to Alaya alone. The Defiant will remain here to guard the station, just in case there's more subterfuge. So Pava is flirting with Worf. Jadzia's pissed in, like, a weird turnabout. That Andorian makes my blood boil. Worf says, yes, mine too. Of course, Dax, I prefer older women.
And she's like, what the fuck do you do?
And Kira's in the foreground being like, talk about Klingon opera. So, Decker is going through.
Admiral.
The Admiral, yes, talking with his son, the cadet. And the cadet's like, I won't leave you. But the dad is like, that's an order. Besides, your cousin is stationed here. He'll look after the old man. And the Enterprise needs to go at maximum warp. So they figure out that even at maximum warp, the Enterprise can't get there unless they go through the Badlands. Fun tie-in. They're like, this is where Voyager was lost. We don't know whatever happened, but I guess we have to do it anyway.
And Data does it because he's super fast and it's on manual controls.
Yeah, they have to look for the Maquis subspace trails of, like the deer path through the woods.
Yep. So he does it. They get through remarkably quick, and
we do get a breakthrough on DS9. T'Pol is pissed and very emotional. Deanna's like, oh, I'm responding with love and affection towards this person who's showing me hostility because all my reactions are backwards. And Nog is there delivering stuff, and he can't stop whistling the same tune. Like, it just gets on Bashir's nerves. And he's like, Nog, you're a genius. I think I figured out what's happening. So Edom goes into Deanna's mind, tries to figure out what's happening, and they realize that it's a thought meme.
Yes, a meme. They explain what a meme is.
You can't get it out of your head, sort of like a earworm, like Nog's whistling.
Yes, a meme.
Yes. So it's a thought that's shared, and then it just bounces around in the person's head, and it breaks down their neuron connections. So Vulcans lose control. Betazoids feel the opposite of what they should be. It'll affect each telepathic species differently, but because it's transmitted by thought,
yeah,
that's how it goes through a whole conference and through a whole homeworld. So they make it to Elia 2. They beam some folks down just in time for the Jem'Hadar to show up. I love that Riker is there, and Luxana runs up. Oh, thank goodness you're here. And she just, like, wraps her arms around him in, like, a very Luxana way.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. Like, thank you, Chris Cooper, for keeping her as she should be.
Yes.
So, and they're like, no, you can't, we shouldn't evacuate, even though there's all these Jem'Hadar soldiers coming down. And the Omega Squad folks, Decker and Pava, are like, we've done this before. We have a whole conference full of telepaths that can tell us what the Jem'Hadar are about to do.
Yeah.
Relay that to us, and so we can fire more effectively.
They're like, everyone pick a telepath.
Yes. And so Luxana is helping Riker. Like, before we knew of Adam, she was one of the most powerful telepaths on Beta Zed.
Yes.
So that's fun. So they're doing all that to preserve the attendees of the conference. Pava's kicking ass. She's like, I fought three at once until one of them broke my back. The ships are hammering the Enterprise. And now, then they go back to DS9, and where we get the full explanation of the meme thought and how it affects the different species. Idam is most worried about T'Priel. And they have to figure out, like, okay, now we know what it is. We know what their plan was. Now we need to tell the people at the actual conference. So the Defiant heads out through the Badlands.
They follow the trail.
They get there in time. Idam realize that they have to combat this meme with a meme of their own. Which I can't even think of a
meme vaccine.
Yeah. Like, what would that be like?
I don't know. That's why I just sort of glossed over that explanation.
Because it's sort of like the cultural moment that the popular memes have their 15 minutes of fame and then they're supplanted by something else.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of like helping that process along.
Yeah.
So they all go through. Idam connects with Deanna, figures out how to put it in. We get a Lady Vorta, who is surprisingly not purple.
Yeah.
Like, the coloring is wrong. Like, sorry, but, like, everyone else, except for that one panel of Nurse Ogawa, looks as they should and are colored as they should. Like, the gray of this Jem'Hadar looks really nice.
So the Vorta shows up and is trying to be a Vorta.
Yeah, like, snotty.
Yeah.
Patronizing. Oh, we're going to annihilate you all. But then the rest of the fleet arrives. There's a bunch of Galaxy classes. There's a few Excelsior classes.
And this basically scares the Jem'Hadar away.
Yep. The Vorta leaves. She's like, goodbye, gentlemen. You have won the day. Savor it while you can. Then a Talosian floats in.
And is like, oh yeah, we did that for you. You're welcome. It was just a projection.
It was just an illusion. Because we got the vaccine from Idam. We picked up on that signal. We're such powerful telepaths.
Yes.
This is the last you'll be hearing from us. Okay, bye. So, yeah. Everyone is fine.
And then we go back to Vulcan at some point?
Zox.
Oh, Zox, because he left early.
Because he left early.
They basically annihilated themselves.
It's so sad, because, we start the issue with this beautiful image of the planet and what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see that beautiful image, but smoke and ruins.
Yep.
And someone says it's going to take a decade for that planet to recover.
Yeah. And the hot guy that Luoxana was making out with, killed himself.
Over the guilt of it all.
It's real bad.
She has another thought about tears and how, like, a flashback to him saying, "Tears, they're beautiful, just like you." And back on Romulus, Spock is back to his normal detached self. He has a final communication with the Talosians.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Oh, you were looking for a servile, sturdy race to rebuild the surface of your planet. And now you have all these Jem'Hadar soldiers that, because you have your full powers back, you've wiped their minds clean, and they'll do whatever you want them to do."
And they're like, "Yep, we do, thanks, never talk to you later."
Yeah. Like, funny how that worked out. Okay, bye. And happy endings for everyone else.
Yeah, this is where we get the Starfleet Academy kids exonerated.
Their death sentence are lifted.
Yep, and that's it.
Oh, that was a long recap of six issues. Well, not really six issues, yeah, but sort of six issues.
Yeah.
We're not counting those two pages of Voyager.
No, but that was certainly a crossover.
Yeah.
I think that if they had just made it all Chris Cooper, it would have been tighter, and it would have flowed a bit better.
Yeah. Like, all these red herrings were fun.
Yeah.
But they, I feel like,
it was
one of those too many cooks in the kitchen situation.
Yeah. So I could see the intent of it, but it didn't stick the landing totally for me.
Yeah. Like, hard to manage all those things.
Yeah. So, Star Trek. We have two series left. We have a short one and we have a long one.
Oh, do?
Yes, we do.
What are they?
We have Early Voyages and Untold
Stories?
Something like that.
Cool. And that'll wrap up Marvel Star Trek.
And the one-shots. We have some one-shots to get through.
Oh.
So, we'll decide in the next 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, how to squish all those together.
Yeah.
And then we can do modern Star Trek.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It will. So thanks everyone for tuning in. I hope Telepathy War paid off for you as well. Ooh. And we will catch you next time.
Be well.
Bye.